peeking through the leaves here on the fringe of Fox's Grove, and a couple of horses very contentedly eating their hay over there. I don't think they took umbrage at Rat.
No, he was swearing at them. He didn't think they should be there. Mind you, I'd prefer a field of redpoll cattle. I know where, when they're going to move, how they're going to move, what they're going to do. I can think, because I was brought up with cattle rearing and the dairy herd there at the farm, and horses are a different creature, I should say.
Well, there are some people in farms not far away from here who have a small herd. They're hobbyists.
Yes.
But is it like, could you see yourself in your dotage doing that? Because it sounds like you'd love it.
Oh, I do. It's second nature to me. Redpolls, Herefords, some of the native breeds. I fall in love with them, and it's all part of your childhood. But I've had to move on because having a square mile of farm, I often ask people the questions. There's lots of walkers here, sort of more or less 24/7. You see them walking around at night, dawn, dusk, during the day, and sometimes at midnight. And I say, what would you actually do with the farm? Well, more or less what you've done comes the answer, more often than not. And I've had to change. Let me just pick this terrier up, because he'll try and butt in through the podcast.
He's keen to go on a yomp, and of course that's not what we're doing today.
No, he's not. We're standing quite close to the woodland, and he thinks we should be going through there. It's far more interesting, but we don't often talk about smells, which is what he loves doing, just using his nose, and he's got this field craft, so he can sense where things are. It's a completely different world, but he's very good company, and love him to bits. Now, we're on the end of the meadow here, quite close to the area of woodland. We just walked down through that little spinney behind us, and I did notice lots of molehills there, and that's probably the best place to find moles. People don't realise that, you know, more often than not, they in woodland digging their little molehills, and because of the undercover on the ground layer, you don't often see all the molehills. But here, quite close to the woodland, the pasture is quite a long, narrow field. It's about 5 acres, 2 hectares, and this end of the field is peppered, is the only way to describe it, with molehills, which you can see quite readily at this time of the year. High Ash Farm doesn't have a huge amount of moles. We've got a good fox population and badgers, and they, if the mole is digging, they will dig them out if they're near the surface and consume them. So here's a little belt. Now, there's a lot of molehills here. Probably we're looking at around 100, quite close to us. Little piles of soil. It's quite sandy, gravelly soil. And that would kind of indicate that there's a lot of moles there. But it's the opposite. When you see a lot of molehills, it just means there's perhaps not a very high worm population here. So they have to create their little underground tracks and burrow under the soil and have longer little tracks, little tunnels under the soil in order to find the worms. And worms are their main diet. They will eat ants as well, and occasionally in really, really dry weather, they'll come out on top and eat all sorts of other things as well, including vegetable matter just occasionally.
I'm guessing they were struggling last summer.
They certainly were, because the worms did something. It's a special word. It's called aestivating, spelt with an A. And they go down perhaps a metre or more down into the soil, and the moles wouldn't be able to get down that deep to find them. So they've spent more time on the top, and I was examining some tawny owl pellets, and I found quite a few mole bones in the pellets, because they're out on the top, and the tawny owls, if they're in the woodland or on the edge of the fields there, could quite easily pick up a mole on the surface, because tawny owls hunt mainly at night. I'm going to have to pick this dog up again, I think. He's come here.
Good boy.
We're going to start barking again. And so They're quite vulnerable to predation if they're above ground. But really, people have commented on moles that they're kind of born in a grave and you don't often see them. They're quite small, actually, about 100 millimetres from tip of nose to tip of tail. That's about 4 inches in old money. And jet black, obviously, short black fur, keep themselves quite clean. Really powerful shoulders and 5 very sharp claws right at the front. The front legs are far more powerful than the hind legs.
That's the digging, I suppose.
And that's right. It's developed over their lives into quite a powerful digging machine. They can sort of bury themselves in, but they kind of almost paddle through the soil. They'll scrab a bit if they've got to make the burrow system a little bit longer, or they're cleaning out some of the old burrows. Then they dig away with these powerful claws, push the soil behind them, and then they'll move it backwards through the burrow and then push it up through the ground. And often people say, how are they digging in frozen ground? Well, they're not. Usually the molehills are there to start with. And so they push the soil up through the existing hole in the centre of the molehill. And I'm just watching because there's some quite freshly dug molehills quite close to where we are.
Yeah, these two here.
Yes, they're two right close to us.
So it could be while we're standing here, one might pop his head up.
Well, I don't think they'll pop their head up. They know not to do that because in daylight you have predators as well as the ones at night, and it would be a dangerous thing for them because the pasture is quite closely grazed. So if they were moving about on the top, then they'd get picked up by a kestrel or anything like that. And or the rats, dogs, anything like that. Stoats will have them, weasels. So they're quite vulnerable to a whole variety of different mammals, predatory birds as well.
You sometimes have moles behind your back door there, don't
yes,
you?
Yes, I do.
So does rat get interested?
Yes, he watches the holes coming up. And then sort of puts his head on one side, and occasionally he'll pounce on the molehill itself and then scrab, but he has yet to catch a mole. But I've had dogs in the past that were quite good mole catchers, and that would also include gamekeepers from years ago who were asked by the farmers, you know, because it wrecks the hay machinery when you've got that number of molehills. If it was a hay field, it would be quite difficult to mow, because you have the sort of modern mowers or disc mowers and little blades on them, and it can do a lot of damage. Also, the modern tractors, you have glass cabs and the stones start flying about. It used to be quite dangerous cutting hay. If you didn't have a cab on, you could get hit by a stone.
Like a slingshot.
Yes, but the early mowers were different. They were called finger mowers. We had a reciprocating knife going backwards and forwards to cut the hay. The modern mowers are absolutely fearsome, with 4, 6, 8, 10, 12 discs, each with 2 blades on, going at huge speed, and they can cut the pasture, but they wreck the blades when you've got stony soil like the moles are brought up near us. So this is an important time of year. What I brought us here to show you, I was just looking across to see if there's an extra large molehill, and that would be one which is often called a fortress, which is just made slightly above ground level to avoid flooding. And then the female mole, and will give birth in there quite soon, actually, sort of end of January into mid-February. You'll have 4 young moles being born, naked, blind, no fur on them for about six to 10 days, and then they start to develop fur after that. The eyes will open after about 2 weeks, and they're nursed by their mum, fed on chopped up worms, not to start with, but they need, because moles are mammals, the young moles are fed on milk by their mother. In this, usually it's overground nest with a big sort of mound of soil, but often in woodland you wouldn't see it because it'd be undercover. But occasionally you'll see a fortress out on a field, which is a double-sized molehill, can be up to 2 feet tall, with a lot of soil brought out, and then she makes a nest from grass and anything else she can find to keep the young warm, and she'll visit them. But a mole's day is about 3 of our days, so she'll have 4 hours rest and 4 hours working. So that makes a total of 8 hours, and so she has 3 of those sessions every day. So they do work quite hard, and hopefully, if she's found some worms. So what happens is the mole travels out along her series of tunnels using her nose, and because the little tunnels are about 50 mil wide, she can squeeze down, and she can detect a worm if it's hanging in there. She'll pull that down, bite it if she doesn't want to eat it straight away. She'll put that in a larder and keep it. Otherwise, she eats it and consumes perhaps 1 or 2 very large worms, and then she has her rest period, another 4 hours. So
the holes are quite small, 2 inches, no more.
Yes, that's right, tiny. So as I said, they spend their life underground, and because we don't often see them, you just curse if you've got them in your garden. And you could always tell a really proficient gamekeeper years ago, because nearby where the gamekeeper often lived, he'd have something called a gibbet, which you would hang all the prey that you'd caught, the foxes. It would probably include badgers years ago as well. They were persecuted. Stoats, weasels, and then the smallest ones hanging on the fence. And I used to see it quite regularly travelling around Norfolk. You'd see about 20 or 30 moles hanging upside down as well. So they've been persecuted and for years and years and years. And today you don't have so many gamekeepers, but you do have professional mole catchers. And I do notice on some of the common land out in Norfolk and North Suffolk, one in particular there at Outney, there's a golf course there, and they set little mole traps there to catch the moles, that, because obviously you don't want them digging on the golf course itself.
Certainly not on the green.
No.
It might affect your putting.
Yeah, it could do. Well, my putting's non-existent, so. But nevertheless, they are persecuted quite heavily still. And so they're tolerated here at the farm in areas like this. But out on the hay fields, we roll them quite early on in the year with a big 6-ton roll. And that keeps the molehills down. I don't mind the moles being there at all, but it's quite difficult when you're cutting the hay.
You're trying to move them elsewhere, really, aren't you?
No, I don't mind them being there, but they're not a problem if the hills aren't there, which we tend to roll and just flatten them out. So there we are, sort of brief life history of the mole there, but nevertheless, beautiful, beautiful little creatures. And there's quite some controversy over whether they can actually see. They have got eyes. There's a kind of normal retina, but the optic nerve from the back of the eye to the brain is not really well developed like it is in a mouse that's got incredibly good eyesight. And there is a species of mole, Southern European, which is completely blind. It has an actual flap of skin over its eyes. It's closely related. They both start with the prefix talpa, but the one here is talpa europinus.
I suppose that sense was so underused that, yes, over generations it's just become completely useless.
Yes, they're really proficient little tunnelling machines, though, very powerful, and they don't have huge areas. So the sort of 100 molehills that we're looking here is about, it's 25 yards long, 10 yards wide perhaps, and that would be normal. 250 square yards is a normal mole's territory. But the molehills, as I mentioned at the beginning, the amount of molehills you see has nothing to do with the amount of moles. If you have really fertile soil with a high worm population, you might only have 6 molehills, and that's sufficient to keep that particular mole sort of satisfied with worms and with food. Somebody dissected a mole's stomach a few years back, and it had been feeding on ants in really, really dry weather, and in the mole's stomach they counted over 1,000 ants. So they have got quite an appetite for such a small mammal. But I love them.
There's not much meat on an ant, though.
No, there isn't. That's true. I've never tried to eat them, but there we are.
Well, go on, Rat, have a run now.
Yes, he's all right. He's happy now. His tail's back up.
Chris, the sound of some of your favourite birds.
Matthew, it's one of the success stories for conservation at High Ash Farm, the house sparrows, one of those red list species, declined by 50% or more, and we have over 100 here. It's a huge smile on my face.
Chattering sparrows, just one of the sounds that you can hear on the High Ash Farm podcast. But we need a favour.
Yes, we do. We're asking for donations and any help that you can give to help keep the podcast going.
You can make a monthly or just a one-off payment. highashfarm.com/podcast.
Well done, Matthew.